Hello? Yeah. The scripture reading today is Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who is with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn.
At CCC, Christmas comes early today. Our message today is the natural birth of the Savior of the world. Believe it or not, at our office, we have a live Christmas tree. Our customer, Ty Wasadut, sells live Christmas trees. This is the second year we've had a live Christmas tree in our office, and our whole office is filled with the smell of Christmas and pine trees. For you who won't be able to go back home for Christmas, for you who won't be able to have a live Christmas tree in your house, I brought something for you today. I brought you some of the nettles from the pine tree, and I also captured a lot of the scent. So I'm going to open this up, and I will let you smell what a live pine tree smells like. Are you ready? One, two, three. It smells like Christmas. Okay. But the first Christmas in Bethlehem was much different than this Christmas 2019. In order to capture the feel of the first Christmas, if you have children, if you've been present at the birth of a child, please think back on the time when it was time to go to the hospital for the birth of your child. I'm fortunate today, my daughter Sumali is here, and she was our first daughter. And I remember in January 1992, driving my wife to Thornbury Hospital, my wife very pregnant, ready to have our daughter, and then we went to the hospital expecting that we become home with this beautiful daughter who's now up and married to my son-in-law, Bryce. So we need to think about the birth of children today. If you're sitting next to your wife or the father, the mother or father of your children, try and think back on what it was like when you went to the hospital for your delivery of your first child. If your children are with you, look at them and think about what it was like when they were not yet born, and you're going on the way to the hospital to bring home that child. William and Lucy are sharing good memories. That's the way it should be. Think back on the wait, on the labor, on the birth, the first sight in a nursery, the first time you held them, the first time you smelled them, the first time that they fed at the breast of their mother, the first time they cried, the first time you were all together as a family. If we're going to think about the first Christmas, this is the kind of thing we need to be thinking about today. For Jesus Christ was born naturally, but born the Savior of the world. Luke the physician takes merely 7 verses to describe the most important birth of all time. So let's get to it. The natural birth of the Savior of the world begins with a miraculous conception in Luke 1, 26 to 28. God sends the angel Gabriel to Nazareth to a virgin, a young woman named Mary. She's engaged to the carpenter Joseph. Mary was told that she would conceive a son by the Holy Spirit, not by her husband. It would occur before she was married. The child's name would be Jesus, and he would be the Son of the Most High God. The angel also appeared to Joseph, her fiancé, and explained everything to him as well. He married Mary, but did not have marital relationships with her during their pregnancy, as the angel had told them. Mary travels to Bethlehem for 3 months to see her relative, Elizabeth. Elizabeth is pregnant with John, who we know as John the Baptist. This is their first child, conceived in the natural way with her husband, Zacharias. This is also a miracle conception because they were all in their 60s. But let's try and contrast the natural birth of Jesus with the miraculous conception of the Savior of the world. One way we could look at it is looking at the Old Testament, how the Old Testament describes conception and pregnancy. The metaphors for conception and pregnancy are personal and symbolic, like in Psalms 136, where it says conception is like the sowing of seeds, and growth in the womb of the mother is like growth of the seed in the soil. The fetus develops like woolen threads, sewn together, put together by a master weaver. In Psalm 139 and Job chapter 10, or by the shaping of the clay of a master potter, as in Job chapter 10. In modern terms, the first thing that Mary would have experienced after the visitation of the angel is that her monthly menstrual cycle would have stopped. Upon conception, the life of Jesus in Mary began in weeks 1 to 2 in the germinal stage, weeks 3 through 8 in the embryonic stage, from the ninth week to the ninth month in the fetal stage. Even in the germinal stage, please listen carefully, even in the germinal stage, Jesus was fully God and fully human. From the miraculous conception within the body of the virgin, the zygote begins cell division and multiplication. When the cell division reaches 8 cells, the cells begin to differentiate into the heart, the organs, the mind, the hands, the feet. The placenta starts to form around what will become the embryo. The embryo reaches the uterus and attaches to the uterine wall, begins to grow, just as we all do. By week 9, the baby within Mary's womb begins to kick, flexing arms and legs. Mary is showing, and at week 12, she begins to show, and she returns from Bethlehem to Nazareth to be near to Joseph and his family. By the 7th month, Mary feels the increasing weight of the child within her. The lungs of the fetus begin to expand and to contract as the child begins to prepare from life outside of the womb. First at the home of Elizabeth and then back in Nazareth, Mary begins to feel changes into her body. There is no need to guess what is happening. She begins to gain weight. Her posture changes. Her breasts grow larger as her body prepares to provide milk for the child. Hormones that the mother and child need for pregnancy and birth are in abundance. New emotions and physical discomfort are experienced for the first time. As the time nears for birth, her abdomen begins to lower and the movement of the child is more pronounced. Mary has a sudden urge to start cleaning out her closets and paint the baby's room. Just kidding. No, Mary must begin the journey to Bethlehem with her husband Joseph and others for the mandated census and the birth of the child. They will travel from Nazareth to the north along a well-known trading routes to the center of Israel. All these events, even the travel, even the life's routine is according to God's purposes and plans for this family. Then comes the pain of childbirth and locating a place for Mary to give birth. First, the family arrives in Bethlehem at the time or just prior to when the labor began. At the inn, possibly a guest house, a guest room, or a hostel, the room where they slept, most likely together with all other family members, was not suitable for giving birth. The housemaster suggests that they go to an adjoining room or below the inn into a room or a separate room or grotto for the birth. Mary is surrounded by helping hands. the encouraging voices of women in attendance, and the skilled hands of the midwife. Mary would be prepped for birth as she prepares for the birth of first child. Verse 7 says that there was no room in the inn, but this could not mean that there was no place for them to stay, because in first century Judea, Palestine, a pregnant woman would have been gladly welcomed into anybody's home. She also had Elizabeth, her family member, also living in the area. She would have been welcomed warmly by anybody in the area. In first century Palestine, the Jewish midwife would have provided tender care to Mary, as well as giving emotional and physical comfort and assistance. In the Old Testament, midwives are mentioned often. At the birth of Benjamin, in her duress, Rachel cries out, and the midwife consoles her in Genesis 35. For Jewish midwives, the reverence for birth stems from the fact that they believe that God ordains a birth to take place. It is the blessing. Children are the blessing of the Lord. Their faith in assisting in the birth of the child is the behavior of God, just like the behavior of God towards his people Israel. During Israel's captivity in Egypt, when the Jews continued to multiply, Pharaoh, driven by evil and desperation, commanded the midwives, Shifra and Pua, to kill all the newborn sons. The midwives, however, feared God. And they, having feared God, did not do as the king of Egypt had said, but they enabled the boys to live in Exodus 1. The authors of the Hebrew Bible recognized that giving birth was a very human event where life and death was possible. See if I can get this to work. This is Sister Surya. They call her Mimi. She's a midwife in Pakistan, in Karachi, Pakistan. She's a Catholic sister, and she goes about not only helping people, women, to have children, but also to act as a missionary and to go around and help other women to come to faith in God. In the family I stayed with in Pakistan, she had helped deliver all seven of their children. And I really love this woman. She is so tender, so kind, and when you grab her, hold her hands are very soft. This is what a midwife would have looked like at the time of Mary. The midwife would have helped Mary prepare for the birth. Mary, as the contractions came closer together and the birth near, would have helped Mary to crouch or to kneel, perhaps supported by birthstones, like it mentions in 1 Samuel 4. Several Jewish rituals took place after birth. The cutting of the umbilical cord. Yes, Jesus had a belly button. Washing with water. Rubbing with salt and clothing the newborn. The baby is given to the new mother to begin nursing. The baby is named Jesus by the parents as the angel told them. And the circumcision, the brisk, took place at the 8th day. In addition, there were rituals that restored the mother to ritually clean state. And most of these rites are contained in the book of Luke in chapter 2. In most of the birth stories, the focus of the text is the development of a people and not really about the mother and her birth. It's about giving life and birth to God's purposes and plans. The conception of Mary is much different than this because of its unique mention of the feelings, the people that Mary knew, the people in her life, the travel that happened around the birth of the Savior. The labor of Mary would have been painful, as is normal. It underscores the words of Genesis chapter 3. To the woman, he said, I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. With painful labor, you will give birth to your children. The silence of heaven. Amazingly, at the miraculous conception of Jesus, we see lots of angels. We see lots of pronouncements, but at the birth of Jesus, it's very quiet. There are no angels, no heavenly proclamations. The silence of heaven and the angels displays the unbearable expectation and the hope of heaven at the birth of Jesus, God made flesh. All of heaven stands in expectant silence, awaiting the news of the birth of the Savior. Mary gives birth in one area. Across the way is a manger, which has already been prepared with straw, fresh straw, where the baby Jesus will be laying after he was cleaned and wrapped in clean cloths of linen material. Jesus would have been wrapped tightly in these cloths, as was the custom in the day, but no longer practiced anymore. The manger, or V-shaped wooden structure where hay was placed for the animals, was a safe place to lay a child when they were newborn, when the mother had to go out and run some errands. The very natural birth of the baby Jesus exclaims in its naturalness and its normalcy God's complete association with humankind. In every way except for sin, Jesus was born of a woman just like we are. In each one of us, born in the same way. In Genesis, God created the means for conception and birth. At the birth of the Savior of the world, God does not abandon his creation, but he embraces it, his methods, his purposes, and his plans. Jesus arrived in the world in every way as we do. Jesus is just like us in every way except for sin, so that we might be like him in every way in righteousness. The incarnation, God became fully human in his birth and indeed forever. One theologian wrote, God chooses not to be God apart from his creation, apart from human beings created in his image. Believing in the birth of the Savior of the world is best confessed rather than explained. One of the earliest confessions of the birth of the Savior is in the Apostles' Creed. So I would like us to read it together. 1, 2, 3. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. Another early confession was the Nicene Creed. Let's read that together also. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. What does it mean to be begat? This is kind of an old word, but it has a great meaning. To be begotten, Jesus is the only actual being taken out from the same substance as the Father God. Let me say that again. In all of creation, in heaven and in earth, Jesus is the only actual being taken from the same substance as God the Father. To beget means to have a beginning, but the substance of that beginning is from the everlasting God. All other things in heaven and earth are created, each according to their own kind, made of their own substance, different from God. The incarnation was not metamorphosis. It was not a changing of one thing to another. Jesus was not born a human being and morphed into God. The incarnation was not transformation, a naturally born human being becoming God. The incarnation was not enlightenment. It was not the awakening of God consciousness in the human spirit. Jesus was fully human from the moment of conception in the same way we are, except for our nature to sin. Jesus was God at the moment of conception, having been conceived of the complete genetic composition of an earthly mother and the complete divine composition of God, fully human, fully God. And another way to understand this truth is through a song of Christmas, as Andy suggested that we can sing and appreciate this time of year. Can we all stand up and read this together, please? One, two, three. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as a thing to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. You may be seated. The birth of John the Baptist is the beginning of the end of God's plan of redemption from Genesis to Malachi to the birth of John, all pointing to the Savior, Jesus Christ. The birth of Jesus is the beginning of the plan of salvation, not only for Israel, but for all of mankind. It is a birth and a beginning like none other. It is a beginning without an end. It is a birth that leads to death. But this death leads to victory over death. A virgin conceives and bears a son, and this son is the Savior of the world. Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you for this day, for your word, for the opportunity to meditate upon how much you loved us. At the very moment when you became a human, became a man, you did not turn your back on creation. You did not turn your back on us. But in the same way that we were born, your son was also born. In the same way that we are human, he is human, except for sin. And in the same way, he became like us so that we might become like him. We give you all glory and praise and honor. In Jesus' name, amen.